Listen with me for the word of God from Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no roots, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." And from verse 18, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. And as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the words and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Back in 2016, the Reverend Fred Rogers preached the commencement service at Memphis Theological Seminary, where I now serve in leadership. Now, some of you may not know the name Reverend Fred Rogers, but perhaps you know Mr. Rogers from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. As Fred Rogers preached that service that day, his quaint, soft-spoken delivery before those graduates that day was the same voice that millions of children have heard throughout a lifetime of his ministry. And in that message, Reverend Fred Rogers shared the story of when he was in seminary at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. He had heard that one of his most cherished professors and preachers was going to be speaking in a small church in a rural community just out in the Pittsburgh suburbs. When Rogers arrived that day, there had been a change in the schedule. And in fact, his sought-after speaker was not in attendance that day, but a retired pastor who had not served the pulpit regularly in 20 years was speaking that day. As he proclaimed the message, Fred Rogers said he sat through what he believed was the worst sermon he'd ever heard. He said it was boring. It was monotone. He said the guy standing up there trying to preach broke every rule that he'd been taught in seminary about preaching. And Roger said, "As I sat there in judgment, and in many ways persecution of the preacher, after the sermon, I paused just long enough in casting my judgment to look to the lady sitting beside me, And he said, as she sat there almost crumpled in the pew, I saw a single tear appear in the corner of her eye and began trekking down the side of her face. And with that, she turned to look at me and say, he said exactly what I needed to hear. Fred Rogers said that moment in his faith journey was an eye-opening experience of the power and majesty of the Holy Spirit. He said, I came in judgment looking to cast a fierce opinion on the one doing the best he could, but the lady beside me came as a listener in need, and God spoke love into her life. You know, friends, as I reflect upon that story of Fred Rogers this morning, I think it really opens my eyes a little more fully to the words of this parable today. Because you see, on the first listening of the sowing of the seed, I don't know about you, but for me, it's tempting to try to measure up those around me, to in some ways, like Fred Rogers, judge their performance and wonder, what are they doing to measure up? Maybe we hear the words and we see this image of the sower casting the seed and some falling on the rocky path and being picked away. Perhaps we wonder, well, I wonder who those are who never understand and receive. Or we hear the passage of some of the rocks taking up the seed and it only springing up shortly. We wonder, well, I wonder who those are. But you see, I think there's a deeper message in this scripture. And in the story that Fred Rogers preached that day at that commencement, for us not to be so quick to visualize what God may be saying to the other, those around us in this passage. But in other words, what is this passage saying to us and about our journey? You see, here's what the text tells me today. And I pray that God uses this message to speak to you as well. When I hear in this passage, in verse 19, where it's interpreted, where Jesus says, when anyone who hears the word and does not understand, that's as though the seed is cast upon the path. You know what that reminds me, friend? It reminds me to be humble in my faith. Here's what I mean by that. As Jesus proclaims in this parable, he says that some of us in our weakness, when we're not mature in our faith, and haven't we all been there? And maybe when we think we're the most mature, perhaps then we're the most immature. Jesus says it's hard at times to understand the words of life. In other words, here's what God's saying to me through that. Jody, you don't know it all. You don't have all understanding. Approach my word and your faith with humility and surrender and say, God, show me the way. Give me the strength. In the words of the one who prayed, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In the words of the thief on the cross who simply said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. May we know that we are, dear friends, ultimately, those of little understanding. It was Paul who said this in that beautiful 1 Corinthians 13 that many of us had read at our weddings. Paul said this, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see in heaven face to face and full understanding. You see, mirrors in those days weren't the clear images we have today. They were smudged and not a beautiful reflection. And Paul's saying, there's so much we don't understand. Friends, before we're quick to judge the decisions and actions of those around us, may we understand that we don't understand it all. Let's approach our faith with humility, as Christ said, for sometimes it's hard to understand. He also goes on in his parable, and as he explains the seed that is cast upon the rocky soil, he says what happens there is that we receive it with joy. Haven't you been there before? Had that conversion experience, or maybe a revival experience in your life, in your journey, where you were on fire with the faith for a short time? It seemed like you were walking on air. Haven't we all been there? But Jesus says, as he explains, I read here, that the troubles and persecutions of the world can take away our joy and steal our faith. You see, that's a reminder to me this, those seeds that are cast on the rocky soil that have no roots to sustain them, because sometimes, I'm not giving you breaking news here, we all know life is hard. Isn't that comforting though to hear in our text today? For Jesus to claim our world for what it is, there's going to be troubles, dear church. There's going to be persecutions. There's going to be coronavirus and pandemics claim us. There's going to be health challenges for those that we love. There's going to be division among groups of people and separation and disunity in our country. Jesus says we are going to face troubles and persecutions. But here's what I hear him say. Even in that, have faith. Embrace my word and sink your roots deep in me and in my words of life. So friends, that's encouragement to me. To remember when we do face trials, when we're facing persecutions, that they will not last. Because you see, the rest of the story is this, that God ultimately spreads the seed on fertile soil, the fertileness of our life, and bears fruit even in us who at times are rocky paths. You see, I see us in all of these places in this passage. I think that's what Christ is trying to speak to us today. Not where are they, but where am I in these various stages in my journey of faith? And God is always present. So I jump to the fruitfulness at the end. But I want to pause and go back just a moment to the other challenge to our faith that Jesus alluded to. He spoke of the seeds that are also cast among the thorns. The thorns that were already there. The thorns that had already dug their roots. The thorns that had claimed preferential place on that fertile ground. And the scripture said they choked out the seeds that fell in that place. You see, the seed was met with great competition, right? Well, Jesus uses that example to say to us, such it is in our life. We have so much competing for our time, for our passion, for our energy. He says if we're not careful, as he says here in our scripture, the cares of the world in verse 22 and the lure of wealth can choke out the word. He said we can be so consumed with the satisfaction of this world that we miss the fullness of the life of Christ. In other words, scripture tells us we can't serve two masters, right? We can't serve both God and our desire to have all wealth and greed and be all consuming. You know, friends, what I found in life is that my true joy doesn't come in basing it in my stuff, my things, but in giving myself and stuff to others. That's where the joy comes. Not only have I experienced that in my giving, but I've experienced that in my receiving. If Jesus says that our greed chokes out our faith in word, then what gives life to our faith is giving of ourselves to others. I've witnessed it as a receiver, as I said, not only as a giver. You folks who support our ministry and a part of the Ripley Presbyterian Church, we met just this week and we noticed as we did our mid-year accounting, our financial statement, that we're in a better financial position at this point this year than we were last year. We're doing more in mission giving this year than we were before the pandemic. You see, you are inspiring me to say, despite financial challenges and us being separated from each other, the church is still alive and well, and we're still making a difference in our world. Wow. Thank you for being the church, for giving of yourself to sustain this ministry and help us to sustain the world around us through mission outreach. Not only that, as I alluded to earlier, my other day job, I serve in leadership at Memphis Theological Seminary. And when we were faced with the financial challenges of the pandemic, wondering how the economy would be impacted, one specific donor family, a husband and wife, said to me, "We want to help you through this challenging time. We're going to commit $80,000 before your year-end fiscal July 31st as a matching pledge." You see, they wanted to get into the trenches, and their generosity was so inspiring that today those funds have already reached $46,000. I tell you both of those stories because I have seen the recipient of those who understand there's more joy when we give of ourselves than we hoard of ourselves. You cannot, as I see someone, my mama just said, you cannot outgive God. Friends, that's been my experience. That's what Jesus is saying to us today. If we base our value, our happiness in life, in stuff, in the accumulation of things, in the hoarding of what we have just for our selfish desires, friends, we will never find true joy. I've experienced that on both sides. But when Christ calls us to live outside of ourselves, friends, there is the joy, the fullness of life in Him. But finally, as we consider, friends, today, our various points along life's journey, whether we're on the path of the rock, whether we're on the fertile soil or among the thorns, I think there's one final call for us, church, and I hope we embrace this today. Not only should we listen to this text today of our various journeys as recipients of the seed, but hear this text with me today, perhaps with fresh ears, that we are not only in this parable those who are recipients of the seed, but we, dear church, are the sowers of the seed. You see, Jesus calls us as the church to be laborers of the harvest, not only those who collect, but those who proclaim and offer God's love. Here in this passage, as we consider the spreading of the seed, there are going to be challenges in life. But friends, if we will be generous in the giving of God's love, in sowing His word to those around us, we are the ones who are hope for life and love in this world of darkness and hate. So what is what we sow? That's the final question I want to leave you with today. What are we called to sow as sowers of the word? Well, you see, Paul said it this way in his letter to the church in Galatia. In Galatians chapter 5, one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture, Paul says this: we should sow those things that are fruitful, right? If we're going to sow seed, we want it to grow. We want it to be fruitful. We want it to produce, as our passage of Scripture said today, 100-fold. Now, what do we sow, church? to bear forth God's words of life. Here's what Paul said. Receive it with me today. The fruit of the Spirit that God calls us to sow. The fruit of hope that we as the church are called to give to nourish our world. The fruit of the Spirit, Paul said, are these. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. You see, friends, as the church, that is our commission in this text today, to not look with such judgment on the world around us in how they will receive the Word of God, but to passionately, fervently be sowers of the faith who live out our love, our joy, our peace, our patience, our kindness, our goodness, our gentleness for all around so that they too will know the fruit of our faith and be nourished with the life-giving love of our Savior. Amen. I ask you now to join me in our final prayers. We pray for the prayers of the people and lift up all these that we've mentioned here today for healing and wholeness and the restoration found in our Savior. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we give you thanks for this powerful word of Scripture that you've shared with us today. The comfort that you remind us that you journey with us in troubles and persecutions, that we should be humble in our faith and that we are finding life when we give of ourselves. But you commission us most of all to sow your seeds of love daily, to embrace your nature as we share it with the world around us. We pray now, God, together for one another and with one another for all the concerns that we've mentioned here today, for friends and family, for those we know and those we don't know, for those we're closest to and from those we're estranged, perhaps even our enemies. Yes, we pray for them today. We ask for healing and wholeness for each of these, whether the need or the illness or the brokenness be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, or relational. Oh God, you are the physician of all of us. Not only do we pray for each other this day and pray for one another as we bow together, but we pray for your church and not this specific congregation or denomination of faith, but wherever your gospel is practiced and proclaimed, will you inspire and empower your people in ministry, O God. We pray for our nation, celebrating this land that we live in as truly the greatest land on earth. You have gifted us. May we be a gift to those around us. Be with our president, our Senate, our Congress, the Supreme Court, our military, and those who serve in leadership on behalf of others. We lift up our state, our county, and city governing bodies, all who hold authority over others. Oh God, will you guide them to do justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly in your ways as you called forth your prophet Micah. We pray for the strong and the rich, the powerful, and the wealth that we all have who hear this, that we may give of ourselves to others and know the joy of living outside of self. We pray for the poor and the hurting, for the downtrodden, for the least and the last among us, O God. May we be the sowers of the seed that reflect your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your gentleness, your self-control to them, that they too may know the life-giving love found in our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for life in you. And now, as your children, claimed by the grace given through the blood of Christ, we say the very prayer you taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, friends, I leave you as I receive with you God's holy blessing for us as His children. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance, His gaze upon you, and give you peace now and forever. Amen.